6:44, 16 till 7 Thursday morning. That's when we talk to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Dr. Strain?
Man, I'm doing extremely well. How are you?
I'm well. I got to ask you about Hootie. How's Hootie, the new basset hound in the Strain family?
Hootie is having a great time. Hootie goes to work every day at the veterinary hospital and is the official greeter. So the day is great for Hootie. Gets to see people all day long, then come back and just chill out for the rest of the night.
You know, we're going to have to do
a good old time.
One day, you're a respected veterinarian, as is your wife. We're going to have to just spend a morning talking about the best dog for the best, you know what I'm saying, to meet your needs and all that kind of stuff. How you find about, how you figure out what's the best dog for you.
How you pair up the dog to the person, right?
Yeah, because you know,
vice
doctor.
Versa.
A lot of times people see a dog on TV and they want it, and that's not the kind of dog they need at all, and then the poor thing winds up in a pound or something else. We'll do that another day. Let's talk about the outlook for crawfish.
Crawfish outlook looks good. We've seen some preliminary discussion about up to 400,000 acres of crawfish. Now, I think that's a little bit optimistic, but if we can get up to a solid 320 to 350, that'd be great. Right now, the weather's been good. You know, it's a little bit dry right now. However, we still have enough water in most areas. The ratoon crop of rice has come along very, very well. And they'll be cutting that beginning, you know, in a few weeks. Actually, by Halloween and in that week or two, they'll start harvesting that rice and then flooding the fields. So we're very optimistic. Everyone is working hard. They're anticipating a really good crawfish crop. We're going to have enough vegetation because they feed off the rice. You know, after we harvest that second harvest of rice, we flood those fields. The weather conditions are mild, and that's good. And that way we could have, the rice will break down slowly and feed the crawfish. And so we're excited about it. You know, we think we'll be watching very closely, you know, early January, what they look like. But if these weather patterns hold, if we get a little bit of rain, just a little bit, and then if we have, just mild temperatures, I'm expecting a good crawfish season. Everybody's anticipating, everybody's hopeful, and everybody just can't wait. And we're having a good shrimp season, and shrimp is available too. And so we're really working hard, and our agency is going to be moving very, very much in the way of further promoting and doing a lot more with seafood.
Yeah, tell me about the videos I saw that I guess you guys produced about buying Louisiana shrimp and the shrimp industry in general. Is very well done, Mike.
It's very well done. Miss Jen Finley, I think she has 8 Emmy Awards.
Really?
Very fortunate. She's been with, yes, indeed. She is. You see the quality. We have a professional team, and it's part of our continuing series of Crawfish Tales, T-A-L-E-S, as we tell the stories of the people, the places, the products, all things certified. And when you, just like with the shrimp, you know, we get down to the people, the culture, the whole part of Louisiana. And talking about the shrimp industry is about $800 million a year, and it's a vital part. And when you think about Louisiana, you always think about shrimp boats, you know, just like crawfish and everything else. But shrimp is a big part. But what we've got to do with shrimp, we have got to eat and really push consumption of local shrimp. We need to have shrimp boils. We need everyone to pitch in and start supporting our shrimping industry because it is dying on the vine, and they simply cannot survive at shrimp at $1 to $2 a pound. It costs more than $2 a pound for them to go out and fish, you know, in the shrimp. So one of the things with the series, and again, we're working with the Seafood Promotion Board, we're working with the Seafood and the Shrimp Task Force and others on a multi-pronged approach, and we're going to be very involved in that. And so we encourage everyone to watch those videos. We're going to be doing commercials and putting that out as well as we really enhance. And the buy local movement, you know, the certified Louisiana, that has grown exponentially in the last few weeks. We've had Community Coffee join us, Tony Sacheres. We have more than 700 companies. And so that's another way that we're going to promote all of these products is through the certified Louisiana program. So it's fun. It's exciting, and if you need, and tell everybody, you can watch those videos. You can go to our website, Department of Ag and Forestry. We're going to be putting them out on social media and then to just general distribution. But it really touches the heart and the soul of the shrimp industry. We've done one for oysters, Robin's Oysters. We've done it for many different commodities. And I can tell you, you know, what we want to do and is build up that library of videos and then play those like on PBS, and people can see the heart and the soul of Louisiana.
Let me take a break. We come back, Mike. I want to talk about the dry conditions, both as it relates to the crawfish crop, as you mentioned, rice, how the sugarcane harvest is going, because I guess this dry weather is good for that, right?
It is good. We are rolling with harvest. Harvest is moving very well, but we need a little bit of moisture. I'd like to have a little bit more tonnage, but it is going very well.
All right, and we'll talk about burn ban. Somebody had a specific question about how do you know if there's a burn ban in your parish, when it's safe to have a fire, et cetera. We'll talk about all that with Dr. Mike Strain. We'll come back. Also, any other questions, if you have them, at 504-260-1870. We're going to talk about fall, too, in Louisiana and cold weather and all that stuff. So a lot coming up. Stay with us, 650, 10 till 7. Time for traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 654, 6 till 7. Quickly back to Dr. Mike Strain, who is always here on Thursday morning, talk about everything as it relates to the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Somebody wanted to know, Mike, and it's, we can fold it all into one big question if you want, about the dry conditions and the weather and what effect it's going to have on crops or crawfish, as you earlier mentioned, and rice, sugarcane, and burn bans, drought conditions, all that stuff.
Yes, it is very dry, and you can go to the drought monitor if you want to look at directly at the map. We think it is actually drier than what the drought monitor, again, is telling us, and we're working to really try to beef that up as well. My meteorology team, as well as Jay Grimes, the state climatologist, and we're really pushing the drought monitors and the drought authors to, you know, to really be accurate on this. So what we have is that we're going to see, you know, probably maybe a little less tonnage in the cane, but it's doing very well and it's harvesting well. When it's dry like this, harvest goes extremely well because the equipment can roll through pretty quickly. And so, you know, we have, you know, the ratoon crop of rice, and we also have some cotton left to harvest, but the conditions of the commodities are very good. The cotton is good. You know, the corn and the beans are very good. And, of course, the sugar, it's harvesting very well. But when it's more efficient, then that kind of compensates maybe for a little less tonnage because, again, the efficiency of going through there. So that's all good. Now, with the crawfish, I think we're going to have enough. You know, so far, you know, our water wells and our surface water, we're fine. We just got to have enough water to go ahead and get those fields flooded. So we're very, very excited about that. Now, on the other side, with the burn bans, mm-hmm. We encourage everyone, one, you can go to our website, Louisiana Department of Ag and Forestry, and look at the burn ban map, or you can also advise everybody to contact your local fire department. You know, more than a third of the state, and closer to half, is currently under a burn ban, and what that means is you can't burn debris piles, and if you're not a certified agricultural burner, you have to contact the department and call it in. And so we're urging everyone so to please be careful. We've been having some fires. The other night we had some fires in Washington Parish, and what happened is that it was from a vehicle going down the highway dragging a chain. The driver, apparently, that's what we think, didn't know it, but set a number of fires and almost burned a farm up, and we've got that under control. We're having 8 to 10 fires a day. Our fire crews are gearing up because they know that these weather conditions continue, then we're going to have some problems. But again, with the burn bans and everybody working together, we can minimize these wildfires. We can hold them down to small sizes and not have a situation as we had, you know, about 2 years ago when it really, really, really got severe. So it's dry, the humidity is low, and we have these intermittent winds. But we're hoping that in the next 10 days we get some moisture, and then, you know, we can have a really nice, you know, early winter, you know, through here in some good conditions.
Mike, somebody texted in about these underground fires like we had, and you had a hard time putting them out. How does something like that get started, how big is your concern given the conditions for something like that happening again?
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, if you look at the underground fires, those that were in the marshes, the big ones were intentionally set. And so we have no tolerance for arson. You know, it is not okay to burn the marsh or to burn the woods or to burn the fields. by arson for whatever reason. And what happens is that when it's very dry, especially in the marsh conditions, and you don't have the surface water, it will burn the top, but then it will get down into what's called the peat layer. You think of soft coal, and it will start burning underground, and it can burn up to 6 to 8 feet down. And the only way to put that out is either you've got to flood it or you got to let it burn out. And so those are conditions that you got to be very careful. Now, if there's something out there, please do not go walking out to take a look at it, because you could fall through the surface into that sub layer in the fire. And what we've done working with the local fire departments and, you know, with the National Guard is to help facilitate marsh. Those type of fires in the marshes are actually not under our jurisdiction. We are wildland timber firefighters. We work with the local agencies. And the only way to deal with that, you've got to flood it. So we will try to cut or build a levee around it and work with them. And one of the things we're talking about with our legislative friends is to acquire 8 to 10 of those great big pumps, because we have to get those from the Corps of Engineers. You have to flood them. That's the only way to get them out. And sometimes we've had it where lakes were drained for maintenance and then they catch on fire and it can burn for months. We've had them burn underwater. So that's a different type of fire that we have to fight.
Burn underwater. That is crazy. Hey, thank you, Mike, for all your time and efforts and everything else. And farmers markets are open. There is nothing like going to a farmer's market on a Saturday morning getting some fresh produce.
They got some good stuff there. Look for that certified Louisiana logo.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Have a good week. And say hi. Thanks for the picture of Hootie. That dog's getting big. Quick.
That dog is getting big. Yeah, Hootie with her cousin, Mimi. Right?
All right, thank you.
You see, Hootie hard at work.
Thank you, Mike.